One of the things I want to look at today is, as we know, that we're at the very end of the world. We're living in that end time situation, that we're right there. That judgment day is only a few months away. And when you begin to contemplate that, it's a very awesome thing. That we're living in that time, that the end of the world is at hand. It's right there. And it's ever a time that we ought to be looking inward. We not ought to be pointing the finger at someone else. The finger ought to be pointed at me. Am I ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? And that is a very important thing. We know that according to God's word, that He's not a respecter of persons. God can save anyone. No matter how deep you are in your sin, how rebellious you might be, the grace of God is beyond human comprehension. God can save that person as He did. As we read the Bible, you see He will save an harlot. He will save that person, this person. And those of us who are saved here today, some of us was in deep sin, that we wouldn't want no one to know about what we've committed. But God in His mercy has forgiven you if you're a child of God. And how wonderful that is, that the grace of God is still available today. But here, God has let us know, and it's God's mercy, what He's about to do. It's only the mercy of God why He's done it. He didn't have to do it. He could let this world go right up until May 21st, 2011, and Judgment Day, just like that. He could have done that. But God in His infinite wisdom and His mercy has let us know what He's about to do. And He's done it in the Bible. If you look at Genesis chapter 18, God always, before He brings judgment, let His people know what He is about to do. That's how He operates. If you look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 and 18 here, He was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, Abraham was a saved man. And God let him know what He was about to do. And there we read. Here God says in verse 17 of Genesis 18, He says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And of course we know that He didn't. In verse 18, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the world shall be blessed in him." And if you go down to verse 20, same chapter, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know it." So here it is. God now is about to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and He let Abraham know what he was about to do. And so it is. In our day, God is about to end the world. Would we expect that He would do the same thing? To let His people know what He was about to do, you see. And you read on there in verse 22, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord, before Jehovah." And as you read on, you see Abraham is pleading for these people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course we know that it came then when God finally destroyed the city. But here my point is, God let Abraham know what He was about to do. Bring judgment. And so it is in our day. It's God's mercy. It is God's mercy. He's letting the world know what He's about to do through His people, which He has revealed it to us from the pages of the Bible. It's not a random date that we pick out of the sky. God has laid it, all these information pertaining to the end of the world is coming from God's word, the Bible. So we should expect that God will let us know, His people know, what He's about to bring judgment. That's how He operates. If you look at, turn over to Amos. Amos chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 6 to 9. Amos chapter 3. "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city?" And what trumpet is that? Here are the true believers. We're trumpeting this information throughout the world. Over the internet, through tracks, through radio. That judgment day is coming. How can we sit still? knowing this information from the Bible and don't warn the world. And what, you know, what would we want to do first when we gonna warn the world? First, we want to tell it to our family members. But before you hold your hand here in Amos and go back over to Genesis. I got to bring this point out when I was over there in Genesis. When he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he went to Lot. What the first thing Lot did? Here we are. We know of this information in the Bible. We hear it. Judgment Day is May 21st, 2011. One of the first things we want to do is tell our family members. A true believer does that. You tell your immediate friends and loved ones. Judgment Day is almost here. Remember, Lot went to his sons-in-law in verse 14 of Genesis 19. Turn to Genesis 19, verse 14. One of the first people we want to go to is our family members, our loved ones, those who are close to us. And here he says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. He went to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one of them that mocked. They laughed at him. How many of us have experienced that? You tell your mom, you tell your dad, you tell your children. They're not listening to you. They're not taking it seriously. They laugh. They laugh, but lo and behold, this was true. He did destroy. They got destroyed in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, right along with those who were there, because they did not listen to the warning from the Bible. And how many are not listening? They're not listening to the information from the Bible. They think that, oh, it's not going to happen. And whatever excuse that they give, you know, it's they're not listening to the information from the Bible. And this is so, it is going to happen. Knowing this information, you know, as true believers in Amos 3 verse 6, we are going to sound the alarm. We're going to sound the warning. It says in Amos 3, verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. You know, you've watched those nature programs. See the lion chasing the impala. You know, the lion is a very fearsome animal in the jungle. You know, all the animals are animals. They tremble at the roar of a lion. And here God is a lion. He has roared. He has sounded the warning that judgment day is almost here. And will you not pay attention to it? You're just going to just live on, keep on doing your thing and pay no attention to this warning from the Bible? How foolish you'll be if you don't listen to what the Bible has to say. And it says in verse 8, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Publish it. Publish in the palaces of Ashdod. You see, the true believer in verse 9, we're going to publish it. We're going to make it known by God's grace as he gives us the means to do so. Publish it in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt. And say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria. And behold, the great tumults in the midst thereof. And the oppressed in the midst thereof. So we're going to publish this information as far and wide as the Lord Jesus would have us to go. And have to be known by man that the lion has roared. Judgment day is almost here. And we better listen to it. We better listen to what God has to say from the Bible. The Bible is the word of God, whether we believe it or not. Judgment day has been appointed by God. That day is set. And we can't change it. That day has been appointed by God, and we're headed towards that day, and mercifully, wonderfully, he has let us know. That is the mercy of God. Many people don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to face up to it. They go in denial. They lock it out. They laugh at you. They mock. But let it be known that it's not going to change the fact. There are many people are saying, oh, not so, Lord. Not so. This can't be. I have my full life ahead of me. I have to do this. I have to get married. I have to do whatever. No. God's will supersedes all that. It is not going to change the fact that we're at the end of the world. we ought to face up to it. Face up to it. We're right there at the end. You know. So maybe a lot of people think they're just having a bad dream. Can't be. See, we are all a part of this world, and there are those who love this world too much. The homes, the niceties, the toys, the cars, all these things are vanity. What are you going to do with it? Come May 21st, 2011, these things are useless. It's going to be the last thing on your mind, thinking about your bank account or whatever you have. No, it's not important, these things in this life. It's not important, because if you would die today or tomorrow, you will take none of it with you. How much of this world's goods are you going to take with you when you die? Nothing. Nothing. Your body's going to go down in the ground. You're going to be buried. You're going to rot. These things doesn't mean a thing. The thing is salvation. It doesn't make a difference your status in life, where you're from. All this means nothing. If you're not a child of God, you're in deep and terrible trouble with God. You're headed for destruction, for that day of judgment. You know, I think many people, while they're so afraid of this or don't want to deal with it, because deep in their heart, they know they're not ready. But you know, wonderfully, there's still time. There's still time, as the people of Nineveh did. We could cry mightily to God. It may be that God might have mercy upon me. But how foolish that is if you don't listen to God's word, the Bible. Let's look at Ezekiel 33. Another familiar passage. God tells us in the Bible. Here, we're looking now very close to the end of the world. We're right there. And as if you were a true believer, and this is the way we ought to be living our whole life, if you say you're a child of God. It says here, we see the sword coming. The true believers, we see the sword coming. And this sword is for killing. There the Bible is known as the sword of the Spirit. We see judgment day coming, you see. And it says in verse 3 of Ezekiel 33, if when he see the sword come upon the land, ye blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth, and you know the only way that we're going to hear this, unless God give us ears to hear, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And God goes on. The true believers, we are watchmen. We are going to sound the alarm, because we know what God is about to do, as he let his people know, as Abraham did, and there's other events in the Old Testament. God let them know what he was about to do. He did not hide what he was about to do from Abraham. Did he? No. He didn't hide it. God spelled it out to him that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be overthrown. He let Jonah know what he was about to do to Nineveh, didn't he? But wonderfully, God, in God's mercy, he spared the city of Nineveh. And that's a huge example to us who are living today. It's as if we're living in the day of Nineveh. Here, the trumpet is blown. In 18 months, in a couple of weeks, Judgment Day is going to be here. What are you doing with this time? You know, you think about it. 18 months away. It could be broken down in weeks and days and hours. It could be broken down. What are we doing with the time remaining? Are we just wasting it? What are we doing with 18 months? It's not 18 years. Or 1,800 years. 18 months. It's not a long time. It is not a long time remaining in this life. 18 months. And we... Judgment Day will be here. 18 short months. This year is almost done. It's almost complete. And then 12 months next year. So in reality, you have two Christmases left. This one and another one. There's two more. And then next year is going to, before you know it, next year this time we'll be here again. This time looking at another Christmas holiday, another Thanksgiving. And then the end of 2010, then we started January. January 2011. Then you have January, February, March, April, May. Then after next year, this time, you only have, we're in November. You could count November because it's still early. November, December, January, February, March, April, May. So next year, this time, you only have 7 months left. 7 months to go. And then you're looking at judgment day. It's not a lot of time. It's ever a time we ought to be beseeching God for His mercy. It's today. And you know, there are those who take great comfort in the verse. They may not know any other verses in the Bible, but they know no one knows the day or the hour. And there are many who take great comfort in that. They hide behind this verse. They comfort themselves with that verse. No one knows the day or the hour. And they turn around and walk away. They're taking great comfort in that verse. No one knows. No one knows. And they go back and they go on continue on with their lives. But God warns us. If you look at, God let us know what the people of Noah was doing in Luke chapter 17. He let us know how the people were living in Noah's day just before the flood. People are doing the same thing today. The very same thing. Luke chapter 17. And he tells us what was going on in the days of Lot also. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Here God tells us. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat. That's what we're doing just before the flood. So God is telling us what they were doing. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until that day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Right up until that moment, right there, right up. He went right up to that date. As decades, he declared the gospel. It went out. It got around. Over some hundred years as he built the ark. The word got around. Word of mouth is a powerful thing. This person tell that person, and it got around. And, they went on with their daily routine. As he says, they were marrying wives. They were business as usual. What do people do? You look in our world today. They're building skyscrapers, people are going to college, they're doing their thing. Until right up in that moment the flood came. They didn't listen. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And it says, verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, back there in Genesis, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Same thing they did in Noah's day, same thing they did right before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We're doing the same thing. What is people doing today? Same thing. You see, because God says it's going to be the same way. But this time, it is the end of the world. Verse 29, but the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Same way. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And in that field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Same is, it's going to be a repeat of the same thing. They were doing the same thing in the days of Lot, the same thing in the days of Noah, and it's the same thing is going to be going on in our day. People are not listening to the Bible. They're about planning their future and all these things. Until come right up to that moment of May 21st, the earthquake hits. Then mankind will know that judgment day has come. It's too late to cry for mercy. The day of salvation is over. All the true believers are taken out of this world. And all who remains is going to be the unsaved. The light of the candle, the gospel has been put out. The day of mercy has ended because all the true believers are going to be caught up to be with Christ. Those who have died, true believers, are caught up to be with in the glorified spiritual bodies. And all the people who's going to be on the earth is the unsaved. That's a sobering thing. And I always say, if this doesn't get your attention, what will? What will get your attention? You know, we can't just it's not business as usual anymore. The bright future you had planned for yourself, it's not going to happen. Now, what are you missing? You're not missing anything. If you never get a chance to get married or whatever, you're not missing anything. If you are a child of God, you have everything. You're going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and the new earth, which is about to happen shortly. Which one would you prefer? You look at this world, you know, you see sin is multiplying. You wonder how God put up with us for so long. But we know that He has created the world to last a little over 13,000 years. His perfect will is going to be done. He's saved the people for Himself. And after He is done with it, He destroys it. He destroys it. But, you know, this is a time that we ought to be really, really, really looking at ourselves. Am I ready to meet God? Whether you're a child or a middle age or older person, the end of the world is here. If you want to argue, argue with the Bible, and I wouldn't do that. Because what God has said is going to happen. And this information has no impact on some people's lives, you know, none. They hear it, it goes in this ear and out the next. It goes right over their head. They are not listening to it. Has this information impacted your life? Has it made a change in your life? It's a question we all have to ask ourselves, you know. Has this warning, this information coming from the Bible, has it impacted your life in a way that you're examining yourself, you're crying out to God for mercy, you're trembling before God, oh God, have mercy on me, or not at all? Are you so caught up with your friends or your plans or what is it? What could be more important than this? You know, if this doesn't get your attention, nothing will. Because we're right at the end of the world and we should listen to the Bible. Listen to God speaking to us because it's God who's telling us this information from the Bible. He's not going to hide this information from His people. And He has let us know in these days what He's about to do. And I say it again, it's the sheer mercy of God why He has done it. You see, God is merciful. People say, oh, why do you want to scare the people? What do you want? But come May 21st, you're going to be frightened out of your skin. You're going to be scared to death because Judgment Day is here. You see, but let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Because there are those who are not taking this information seriously from the Bible. I can't make you take it seriously. I can't make you listen to it. But here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, here God says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Now, here's this information. Now, God's let us know what He's about to do. He's telling us, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And what are we hearing in these days? Judgment Day is almost here. The end of the world is at hand. May 21st, 2011. We hear it. God is telling us we have to take an earnest heed. We ought to do it. We have to listen to what God is telling us, which the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Escape what? The day of judgment. The only way we could escape it is by Christ being our refuge, our hiding place, our shield. The Bible using through the book of Psalms. You go through the Psalms, you see God use these things that God is the true believer's refuge. He's our shield. And these words He used, that's the only way we're going to escape judgment day. That is the big thing. How can we escape it if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? How are we going to escape it? And God has given us many, many infallible proofs that these things are going to happen. It is going to happen. You see, if you look at, if that word there, earnest, is used as, for instance, that word earnest here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, is used in, I think it's used in Mark chapter 15. Turn over to Mark chapter 15. You hold your hand here to Hebrews and go over to Mark chapter 15. Verse 12 to 15. Mark chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. Mark chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. Here, Christ was on trial. You're about to crucify Him. And He says in verse 12 at Mark 15, "And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What wilt thou ye that I shall do unto Him whom ye call King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify Him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil has He done? And they cried out the more exceeding, Crucify Him." You see what word would be translated that? That's the word exceeding. See, we have to give out exceeding. We have to look at God's word and take it very seriously. And he goes, and then Pilate said, in verse 15, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." So that word there, exceeding, is the same word here God uses as earnest. And it's used another way too in 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 is used here as... I think it's 2 Thessalonians. Mm. Oh, 1 Thessalonians. Oh, sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desires." That word abundantly should give an abundant concern. We have to listen very carefully, very earnestly to what God is saying to us. That same word there, abundant. You give abundant heed to what God is saying. We have to listen to what He's saying, because it is God who is speaking to us from the pages of the Bible. You see, we have to listen very carefully, because these things are serious. It's going to affect you. Doesn't make a difference how old you are or whatever you, whatever judgment is going to affect you one way or the other. We have to give that earnest heed to what God is telling us, because, you know, this information is not being conjured up in somebody's mind. This is God's word, the Bible, as if God is standing in front of you, talking to you face to face. And we ought to listen to what He has to say, because the lion has roared. Judgment Day is almost here, you see. Also, if you look at Hebrews in verse 3 there, in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 2, God tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That word there, escape, is used in, I think it's Matthew. Hold your hand here in Hebrews and go over to Matthew 22. It's used over in Matthew 22 as those who are making light of this God's word. In Matthew 22, verse 5, the word escape is that whole phrase there in verse 5 of Matthew 22. He says, "But they made light of it." That word, that phrase there, "but they made light of it," is the word escape in Hebrews 2, verse 3. There are those who are making light of this information from the Bible about the end of the world. Judgment Day, you know, you go out to hand out tracts, you get mocked, you get laughed at, people fuss at you, you know, and so forth. They're making light of this information. See, that word escape there says, let me read the whole verse in verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. People hear this information. They make fun of it. They're not taking it seriously. And what do? They go back to their daily life, their daily routine. They never heard a thing. They just went back to their, you know, their life. They hear the warning of judgment day, and there are many who's making light of it. Oh, you can't know the day of the hour. You're crazy. You know what I mean? You hear the callers in open forum. You want to argue the Bible, argue the scriptures. Instead of listening to the Bible and be as the Bereans of old and study these things to see whether these things are so or not, they just shrug it off. And there you have your mockers out there. Those who are mocking this information, they're mocking the Bible and paid no attention to it. And I hope none of us here is doing it. I hope none of us is thinking light of this information from the Bible. We shouldn't. If you are, you need to stop it and listen to the Bible, you see. But go back over there in Hebrews chapter 2. That word escape, there are those who is making light of it. How shall they escape? You know, they're making light of this information from the Bible if we neglect so great salvation. And God's salvation is great. When you read the Bible, see what Christ had to do to save a people for himself. It boggles the human mind that God would go through all this trouble of saving rebellious people as we are by nature. And you know, we know that God, you know, he could save anyone. A child in the womb, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 10-year-old, a teenager, a 20-year-old, no matter your age. Can God hear the prayer of a child? Of course he can. It has to do with how fancy your prayer is or the words you're saying. God looks at the heart of that person. You know, and if you know you're not saved, if you're troubled, if you're frightened of this day, judgment day, what should you be doing? Crying out to God as the Ninevites did. Because we know that God is a merciful, merciful God, you see. That ought to be our priority. Number one priority in our life is my relationship with God. Because we know that we're headed for that rendezvous with God on May 21st, 2011. It is coming. Each day, each week goes by, each month goes by. That date is getting closer and closer and closer. And you know, you can't relive last week. It's gone. That time is gone forever. You can't go back. But as of today, you thank God that I'm still living. The blood is warm in my veins. God is still saving people. Maybe he might save me. I don't know. But we want to make that a number one priority in your life if you're not doing so. You know, life is not, it shouldn't be fun and games. You know, this is serious information that God is telling us. He says, let us know what he is about to do. What are you doing with this information? Because, you know, God talks about, you know, those are who are going to be beaten with stripes. You know this information. It's not as if you never heard of it. And I think that your punishment is going to be way worse than those who had never heard it. But they're worthy of stripes. You know that this information. You know the very day of judgment day. I said, wow. The very year. We may not know the hour on May 21st, 2011. But this is a lot of information that will scare you out of your skin. That this God, who is infinite in his wisdom, and he has the ability to bring this world to an end. He created it. And he can bring it to an end. You know, he's not bluffing you. He's not bluffing at you or, you know, something like that. He's telling you the truth. That he is about to return on May 21st. And time is of the essence. And we should not make light of this information. We say, to shrug it off. No, it is going to happen. The proof's there. He didn't give you one proof. He gave you several proofs to tell you that this information is so. But let's look at 2 Peter. Second Peter, God goes on to give us information in Second Peter chapter 3. You know, that day of the Lord will come. It's a given. You know, you listen to unsaved men speaks. He always talks about the end and doomsday and destruction. He knows. Unsaved man knows, because the way God has designed us, that there is an end coming to this planet Earth, to this universe. We know it. In the worldly songs and all these things, on man's talk, you listen to them talk, they know that this world is going to end. They may not believe the Bible, they don't care about what the Bible says, but mankind knows that there is an end coming. It's like, you know, if the Lord would tarry a little bit longer, if he would tarry the next 100 years, not one of us be living. You have your exceptions that those live to be 100, 102, 103. But if the Lord would tarry another, maybe less than 100 years, all of us in this room will be dead. Every single one of us. If the Lord tarries another 50, 60 years. At my age, living another 60 years. My age, I'm up there too. I'm not old, I don't think. But I'm getting there. Lord's willing, in this month I'll be 49 years old. So I don't think this world won't be here for me to see 51. But I don't think if the Lord would tarry, I would be here another 60 years. But time is of the essence. Doesn't make a difference, you know, how old you are. But time is of the essence. Time is running out. And here we read in 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. You know, you have these scoffers out there, you know, they're making a mockery of this information. They're just laughing at it. You come May 22nd, I'll be here. And you hear them, you know, and whatever. They're just scoffing at this information. They make light of it. They don't listen to you. They do whatever. They just don't want to be reminded of it. They're just scoffing at the Bible, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. You see, mankind, unsaved man, he's ignorant. Because the Bible calls him that. See, he's ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. As one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. That's May 21st, 2011. The day of judgment, when it begins. The day of the Lord will come. You can't change it. You can't wish it away. You can't hope it doesn't happen, as many are hoping it doesn't happen. They're working overtime to prove that this information is not so. You know, they will give their right arm that if this information is incorrect. But we know it's not incorrect, because God has given us these infallible proofs that these things are going to happen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He's coming as a thief in the night for those who are not ready to meet him. And it says, in the night in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt. And this information here, go on in verse 10, it's going to happen on October 21st.
It says here,
the heaven shall pass away, because during this 5-month period, the earth is still going on. People are still here, you know, suffering and the most horrible punishment. And he says, he goes on and says, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, which this is going to happen on October 21st, 2011. All the elements and whatever God used to uphold the universe and all of this, whatever is out there, it's going to melt. God's going to burn it up. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burnt up. Everything you own, whatever you have on that October 21st, is going to be burned up. And here God's in verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. We know it. And these things are going to be burned up. What manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? You see, we ought to make sure that we're born again. And verse 12, looking for. And how? Where do we look? We look in the Bible. Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God. And that's not May 21st. The day of God's judgment day begins. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. See, God is driving it home that these things are going to be dissolved. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, the true believers, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that he looked for such things, what things, be diligent that he may be found of him in peace. In other words, make sure the peace of God is upon you, that you're a child of God without spot, and we become without spot when our sins have been forgiven. God has given us eternal life and blameless. We become blameless before God when our sins are paid for. We're without spot. We're without blemish. You see. So this is the great hope of those who are truly a child of God. That we're going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and new earth when the Lord Jesus returns. But that day is at hand. He is, let us know what he's about to do. He's about to return, and we better listen to what he has to say, because time is of the essence. Time is running out. What is your priority? Is it, remember God tells us in Matthew 6 to seek ye first the kingdom of God? It's not my creature comforts in this life. He didn't say that. Our whole attention ought to be, as we live out our life in this world, we ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because we don't have any righteousness of our own. See, what we ought to spend our time doing? Seeking the kingdom of God. You know, and in this, God has a lot more to say about that, but that's where our priority ought to be, because judgment day is fast approaching. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for that you've let us know what you're about to do. And it's only thy mercy that you've let us know that. But, oh, Father, have us to look at ourselves honestly. And we know, oh, Lord, according to your word, that if this person here who might not be saved, we could still beseech thee for mercy. It might be that you might forgive me of my sins and save me. We pray that you'll work in us, O Lord. You may quicken us according to thy word. And we pray for our children, our family members who are not saved. O Lord, how we desire their salvation. But, O Lord, we pray that may thy perfect will be done in all things. And dear Lord, we thank you for this time together around thy word. And we pray as we go home that you may give us traveling mercies and this coming week, O Lord, that we may spend time reading thy word, and just listening to what you say. And, O Lord, could it be that you will have mercy upon us as we study and seek to do thy will. We pray, O Lord, as we share the gospel with whomever you put in our paths, we pray that you might have mercy upon them and have us not to go weary in well-doing. Oh, Lord, we thank you for thy mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have a hymn that we would like to sing before we go? Anyone have a hymn? Yes. 632. We're going to sing our last hymn, 632. 632, and then we'll be dismissed. 632. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 632.